Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Gas Podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we are
live.
Woo! In person.
Yes.
At Catalyst Campus.
In Colorado Springs.
In Colorado Springs, Colorado.
That's right.
It's like world headquarters of the Smalls, something like that.
Yep, world headquarters. And I'm laughing because a couple things. One, if you guys watch the intro, you'll know that I don't dance anymore because it has become a YouTube sensation. TikTok.
Sensation, yes.
Maybe that's sensational for the wrong reason.
Exactly. But that's, hey,
so I don't,
everybody has to be known for something.
I'm gun shy now. I'm moving.
Everybody do the DK. Okay, Dennis, we are back here again.
That's right.
We're actually here doing multiple podcasts here at Catalyst Campus.
Yes.
Downtown Colorado Springs. What are they doing this week?
It's their Catalyst Accelerator Small Business a business development boot camp. It's a 2 week long course where they bring in small government contractors and kind of teach them the fundamentals of business development. And actually, we can have Ray tell us some more because he's going through the program.
So we have Ray Shouten, right?
Correct.
The CEO and founder of Secured Quantum Services. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Very much appreciate it.
And you aren't from Colorado either, right?
No, actually, I am local here. We moved here, about 6 months ago, Catalyst Campus. We had searched all over the Western U.S. Catalyst Campus is the place to be. The term I've heard is epicenter of this kind of activity. And I just made it a point that we were going to be here, and they selected me and our team. Very fortunate to do so. They had a larger group. We weren't sent out. So, we're absolutely thrilled to be here. And in this particular cohort, the other parties that are here, they're all exceptional individuals, very bright, active people. Mm-hmm. Across the age group spectrum, across all different forms of technologies, mm-hmm. although generally have some affiliation, back to the space ecosystem mm-hmm. as such. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Secured Quantum Services, sure. Ray. What do you guys do?
Well, Secured Quantum Services is the where we are at now after 17 years of research and development, looking at how the internet was going to move ahead beyond just selling widgets, beyond just being hooking computers together. Mm-hmm. And it started with a challenge from my earlier customers who said, gee, I want to put my data in the cloud and take advantage of the cost savings. And we had to tell them, no, you can't because it's not safe and secure. That problem is actually worse today than it was back years ago. And so that was the challenge, the problem. And that put us onto a road to say, how can you do that? So we had, in the process, also were looking at where is the internet going? Back in my day, almost pre-internet, we were building ERP-type systems, and I was looking to see where this long-term was going to happen. Because ERPs came, Amazon came, but it was clear there was more. We just didn't know what.
Yeah, ERP. Yeah. What is ERP?
Enterprise Resource Planning. Okay. So larger companies that want to integrate their many departments together mm-hmm. into a single system. Many people know ERP and SAP as an ERP system, SAP. Mm-hmm. Yep. And basically it's a way to bring a lot of value together by pre-integrating pieces. Companies pick it up and use them, they go right to work.
Right.
We see the same thing happening on a global economic level, where now it's not just ERP inside of a company, but in between companies.
Right.
And the economy is going completely global, and it is going heavily digital. So why quantum? quantum came into the equation when some years ago people realized that the best cryptography that we had going at the day was going to be broken with the advent of quantum computing machines coming.
Right. Right.
And a big problem that most people don't realize today is that their data is getting stored on a hard drive somewhere as it traverses the internet. Some people are doing it's what's called harvesting. A number of companies have pointed this out. But your best cryptography today will be broken in a matter of seconds as these machines are coming online. So that was the first point. And there's a lot of studies going on, a lot of things. There's also new value coming in the way that these quantum machines actually produce results. They use light technology, so it's an entirely different media. And they're so fast that many machines today just can't use it.
Right.
Okay. So the ability to connect it, and then likewise, the new technology of quantum has a real problem with distributing that signal. There is no such thing today as a quantum network.
I was going to go there next. Yeah, they can't. Yeah. They can't even talk, right?
They are in completely different languages, but you can intermix them. There are programming languages together that you can make things happen to a limited degree.
So it's like going to the DMV where there's a sloth at the DMV.
And yeah, you feel exactly the same. And now it's like standing in line.
Seriously.
And you're waiting and waiting and waiting.
It's been like 2 weeks since we had hate mail. Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
So quantum computing moves so fast that the network itself
But the other piece is that when you combine that with the business models coming as a result of digital conversions happening, I use the term conversions because there's an 85% plus or minus failure rate on companies that are trying to convert to a digital model. So that's another big issue. People are beginning to realize that, wait a minute, we got all this network sitting out here. I can now subcontract to another company somewhere else and do the job better, faster, cheaper, which is today beginning to expand into production, not just what used to be, you know, simpler things like accounting and marketing and whatnot.
Right.
Now the core business operations are starting to be looked at in that fashion. So we brought together a bunch of different things, changed the architecture, got real radical about it. And, you know, our go-to-market statement is that we're basically building a new model of internet for the digital economy. It is secured with quantum, but that is only the beginning point. And we are actually intermixing quantum machines and silicon machines in a hybrid environment. And we are creating new forms of networks, basically to simplify the consumption of the technology for companies that are just overly challenged today. They just cannot make it work because it's so complex, so expensive, and so big that for them to be able to reach a global scale where there are companies and providers all over out there, but increasingly the security issue is a big problem. You just can't maintain being safe, and new regulations are coming in. So, for example, with Europe, they had the GDPR coming in. Half of the states in the U.S. right now have similar kind of rules for, you know, data protection,
security,
identity
yeah.
protection.
Yeah.
But you also look at now with the more recent last few months geopolitical events on there, the threat landscape is really increasing. That is the activity of hacking and penetration and that kind of activity. Business today is now moving beyond just a defense model, as in the Department of Defense or military related. And the concept of national economy, the safety aspect is expanding now into regular commercial business, not just defense. Because when you look at it, what keeps the Defense Department going? It's a defense industrial base.
Right.
And if they're getting hacked and things are going out that shouldn't be, which, you know, to varying degrees is, or I should say varying discussion levels, a problem, that is the kind of space where we think we can make an immediate difference with by securing that. And in the course of doing that, we also reduce the cost of those companies operating their infrastructure. They can go focus more on what they do without having to be burdened so much on dealing with either the regulation or the technologies of getting compliant, staying secure, and staying safe while doing business with the government.
The problem I see that a lot of times, I don't know, we're
yeah, go ahead.
Just for a second, is a lot of times I see a lot of people think that if we need to secure our stuff because we're going to lose billions of dollars of stuff, our IP, our all of which has truth to it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where we're failing, at my opinion, where we're failing as a society, and when we're trying to prevent our systems from being accessed that by people that are not supposed to be accessing it, is they forgot about the game, right? I'm a big believer that it's not, people don't do this just for financial gain, try to hack into your networks.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be a game. It's a challenge.
Yeah,
there's some of that human nature.
Let me give you an analogy.
What we came to after doing many presentations, bumping our head against the walls and failures. The closest analogy is like the electric power plant. If you think back in the day, everybody had their own little turbine wheel in the backyard, and then it kind of grew up to a little, you know, steam thing, and eventually cities started to figure out they wanted to put a power plant to drive the city with electrically. They had a hard time doing that, and then Mr. Edison and Mr. Westinghouse had a big discussion about that and a few years of challenges, and eventually AC won out. That created a distribution system, so a combination of power plants and a combination of transmission networks to move power around. We call it the power grid today. Mm-hmm. The next step is what happens? You have to distribute that stuff out to whoever's going to use it. That's the distribution system. But in the process, the standardization of electricity as a power source became very standardized. I mean, you go out there and look at the numbers now. You can plug in a box anywhere in the country. Doesn't matter where you bought it from, where you sold it to, or what you're doing with. If it matches, if it's 120 volt or 240 volt, whatever, you plug it in, you go to work. You don't have to know about the electricity. You don't have to care who's making it. You don't have to even wonder, is it going to be the right quality of electricity? It just works. And so, too, it is what's coming with computer. Because we've reached a point where the sophistication is so high, we don't have enough skills to deal with it. And this is global.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely global. And so, as a result, costs go up, quality goes down, and it just doesn't get there. We're at that diminishing returns point where it's a pivotal change.
Hence the point of quantum computing, though, right?
The whole point of that is quantum is the next stage coming along on the security side, but it also rapidly being developed for the power side. And so the ability to distribute that kind of information power is really what's going to drive the economy of nations and the safety of nations, ultimately, is what we believe.
So yeah. I wanted to circle back slightly. So services, what are the services you guys currently offer?
Well, very good point. Thank you for bringing that up. The basic model we start with is the power plant. But on top of that, we put in what we call an ecosystem. And that brings the ability to integrate companies using a plug-and-play model based on standards. So where a company today wants to go and digitally integrate with, let's say, a vendor or a provider or a seller, in our model, you plug in. You don't have to go build the whole distribution system. You don't have to build the railroad or the freeway. You just have to have a car, okay? Same basic concept. And that really reduces cost. It reduces all the technical burden that a company has. So a law firm, for example, or a defense industrial company might say, gee, I have got such a job to do to take my technology out of research and all this extra cost. By switching the model to something standard where the power sits and the integrations are happening, they're relieved of that and they can accelerate what they do.
So does that architecture exist today?
No, not as such. We've got MVP pieces. We've done research development. We've spent a ton of money on actually making and proving that it will work.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now at fairly early stages, but demonstrable early stages, where we're actually getting to be able to take this out to the first level of scale.
So that's where I was kind of going. Yeah. So our company, would we be interested in that yet, or is it still at the government level where
we
want to help you establish the network first, the architecture, and then we'll plug companies into that
network? No, we've got the architecture down. We've got the network down. We've built it. What's happening, in part, is that technology is growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, give an example, we have been working in the photon network level, which is kind of exotic stuff, and we've come to find that fiber optic technologies is at the bare level, at the high end of fibers, at the bottom end, what the photon will handle. We discovered, and through Catalyst here, a company that's working on laser networks, and we can get, 10 times the distance and thousands of times of speed by going to a different technology. So we do that integration. These are not something everyday companies are going to go out and do.
Yet.
Yeah.
No different than a power company. Okay, a company, why would they go make their own electricity? They just, plug in and buy and keep on going, right? You don't want to be the electric company.
Well, so I was trying to get to, what is your current customer set?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Before we go there, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, you'll let us know about your current ideas.
Great, wonderful. Will do.
Ideas.
Yep.
I was just skipping the break. Nope. Just going.
Nope. Be right back.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit 5star.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to this week's Smallcast podcast. This week we are in person live downtown Colorado Springs at Catalyst Campus. And we have Ray with us. Welcome back, Ray.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
I forgot what we were talking about now. It was really good, too.
He was going well, you had asked him.
That was later. That was after.
You had brought something up there in just the offline discussion for a minute about the concept of an internet. Mm. Our internet, if you will, is quantum intermixed hybrid. We changed the architecture. We're creating what we believe in patenting what is called a quantum safe environment. And it doesn't mean just adding cryptography, which is the current state of all the quantum gaga going on, right? It's an entirely different architecture. We embed quantum throughout it. It's not just for the little bit of cryptography, but we use it throughout. But we also changed the basic architecture of how the internet works. So the concept of an inner and outer net really does apply. The outer network has nothing exposed, nothing at risk. Your endpoint devices, there's no data sitting out there. You just get what you need to do your work with, and that's the end of it. You can unplug it, throw it away. If you think there's a virus, turn it off, turn it back on, you're back clean. It's that simple. Hmm. And it means that in the office, in the environments, all of that extra talent, that work, that labor, that training that you used to have to spend on your people and staffs and all to get going, that's automated. We plug it in, punch the button, you get your configuration, you're done. That's it. It's managed all via software from within the inner network piece, and it greatly accelerates companies, and it greatly accelerates service, and the security goes on. But the benefits only begins at that level. Because as companies start to change from being a manual digitized, that is a PDF-driven company, to a company where the data is interacting and you want to expand your digital revenue, for example, on the commercial side, well, that's where our integration pieces start to kick in. For the defense industrial and the defense side, they're not necessarily worried about digital revenue. They want to make sure it's safe and that it's integrated, that it's fast. Biggest problem I hear from the defense and DIB sides, is it safe, and how do I keep from going this terminal, that terminal, to the other terminal? And we bring that together, and we have what we call a single plane of governance system where we've designed it so that on this new inter-architecture, we can actually digitally drive and control what signals go where, the data in effect, and can send the right data or stop the data in flight as is needed, okay? The result of that is that your compliance model starts to get automated. And we can prove compliance just based on the digital transactions in the network. To the defense side, we also accelerate the connectivity from the ground, for example, through and over spacecraft, or to companies who are contracting with the defense to be able to support that equipment from the specialist that built it. Where today, you got to fly a guy across country to get that to happen. In our world, they go online. Done.
So going to be a need as you transition from standard ones and zeros computing into quantum, I would assume there's going to be a need someplace for a conversion box.
Not necessarily. No, what happens is
legacy to the...
Okay. So, I mean, within the cloud space, so the first environment that we offer is 100% cloud. And it's very much like your virtual space today. So in a virtual machine environment, you can take any legacy machine. I don't know of anything that cannot be virtualized today. It's like a garbage machine, to be real simple about it. But once you're in that space, you immediately lose the cost of the capital expense for your in-office systems, and you come into default what is called a zero-trust environment. Most companies are trying to figure that out. That's a default in our world. And then you also start to bring into the quantum safe environment. Collectively, what this means is that all the money you're spending now on security, this diminishing returns model, you're putting on average 10 to 15% per year into an increasing security budget. And what are you getting out of that? You're getting 10, 100,000 times more risk, more breaches, more exfiltrations of data, more whatever, right? In addition to the working from home model is now becoming a work from anywhere model. And companies are becoming what is called distributed organizations, again, spreading out their manufacturing and whatnot. Keeping that all together, safe, and keeping the performance up is a big key. In our architecture, the performance is residing in the production space, the internet, if you will. And we see there bandwidths like performance networks. To give you an idea, most offices see what's called 1 gigabyte of speed. We'll see about 16,000 times that on based on current technology. So your performance in the working environments go up dramatically, and that's within the quantum safe phase, and that's also based upon today's technology. Where it gets really cool is when you start to intermix quantum machines with the silicon machines, and there you can do things that are just almost unimaginable. And we can take that, and you can take software systems today, send some data, get it to do something, send it back, and you're back out the door. For example, to the defense industrial side, your office environment, all the stuff you have to worry about now, the expense, the certification, goes away. That's our problem. To the military side, the guy on the ground, he doesn't have to carry a computer and a backpack with him. So his load gets lightened up because the display device is not the computer. It's a display device. End of story. So there, he has the benefit of way more power in the back, lots of different companies to support. They're integrated. And he can go and do what he does without having to wear, you know, 10 pounds of battery and a computer to figure out, you know, where he's going to go and what he has to do next.
So it's really just a communicator, kind of like your phone?
Yeah, there's a combination of things. It's a huge combination. It's a very radically different topology. But it's built in large parts on what we do today, combined with different control systems and different technologies.
So how do people find out about you? And I'd like to sit down and drink many beers with you.
Yeah. I've been at this for too long, guys.
We could geek out forever. How do people get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, we can go to www.sqs.world. And I will make my apologies first so I don't have to do it a whole bunch because it's a very preliminary website. We are, have plans to revamp that one already. And I have to say, in moving here to Colorado Springs, we came from the commercial world. This was began and gestated as a commercial solution. And we targeted defense industrial because we knew there was a problem there that we could solve, mostly from the commercial aspect. We were not ready for the draw from the mill side, which is why we're participating here, because the more folks have learned what we're doing, they say, wow, that's got some impact. So that's why we're here with Catalyst.
Fascinating. Okay. This is a fascinating discussion. There's a lot that I'd like to sit down and learn from you on this stuff.
Yeah,
this,
I'll be happy to work with you guys.
You stumped Nate because he's still like
I've got lots and lots of questions, but I realize the audience that I need to ask, this audience probably isn't the one that would want to listen
this
to some
audience,
of the questions I have.
Yeah, they would see value from reduced cost, okay? Most of your hardware CapEx goes about 80% away. Huge. Your training expense, your operating expense typically is about 45% of labor on top of CapEx. So that goes away. Your training and skills issues go away. This is as a service, largely as you do today, but you have to pay.
Have you started working in ATO yet? Authority to operate with the
DIP? There are discussions underway. Okay. As a result of the time here with Catalyst, we've been introduced to key people within the defense community, and the level of interest was pretty high.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Thanks, Ray. This was great.
Appreciate it.
We're going to have to check out.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Well, I'm available, guys, whenever
you're here. We host monthly networking events.
Happy to join it. I'm here in town. Just call me whenever.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on today.
Wonderful.
And we will talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Yes.
Great.
Well, thanks, Ray. Okay. With that, it's just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.